Welcome back to the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on a Father's Day Sunday, the summer solstice here. And right now, the Tennessee Volunteers hoping this day does not get any longer as Virginia, the Cavaliers, with a big top half of the seventh inning down in Omaha, Nebraska. Game one of the Sunday edition of the College World Series. They now lead 3-0 as they're able to plate two runs here in the top of the seventh. Also, John Rahm was able to convert that putt. What a great up and down there on the third hole at the U.S. Open, but he has missed his first fairway, his tee shot on the fourth hole.
Yeah, and we will try to get Brady, as Brady was kind of explaining there. John Rahm did make a nice save here at number three and did put it in the bunker off the tee on number four, so going to have to try to recover a little bit again. That's basically U.S. Open, vintage U.S. Open. You're going to make mistakes, but the key is going to be who recovers from those. And going back to that college baseball game, now Virginia, the Hoos played some runs here in the seventh, now a 3-0 lead. Andrew Abbott, who we mentioned when we talked about this game in the first hour, had been struggling a little bit. He is the Cavaliers' ace, and he has been struggling really going forward, but now he has 10 strikeouts on the afternoon, and Tennessee has not been able to solve him. Tennessee got the money here, but so far Virginia getting the runs. 3-0 here in the College World Series, trying to advance into that winner's bracket. They'll get the winner of Mississippi State and Texas later this evening, and looking at the price right now, BetMGM minus 155 on the Texas Longhorns, plus 135 on the Bulldogs. I kind of like Mississippi State here in that spot. Total, by the way, 8.5. So Virginia continuing to do a little damage here in the top of the seventh. Now at a break, a pitching change coming for the Tennessee Volunteers. So that's where we stand there in Omaha in the College World Series. A couple games we wanted to get to that we didn't get to at the end of the last hour that are going to go off here in about 5 to 10 minutes in terms of first pitch. The Cincinnati Reds against the San Diego Padres. Castillo against Dennelson Lamet. Basically, the move on this game is because Fernando Tatis is not going to be in the lineup today for the San Diego Padres. Reds trying to avoid the sweep out here in San Diego after they did get a sweep at Miller Park against Milwaukee. So now we're seeing the price down, minus 135 on the Padres, plus 115 on the Reds. Think you're probably a little bit late to the party here if you're back in the Reds, but Luis Castillo has been a lot better. He is showing a little bit of signs of life. Really struggled to start the season, but has been much better his last couple outings. Still a very high ERA at 5.83, 4.04 on the xFIP, so about a 1.8 runs difference there. Dennelson Lamet has been in and out of the lineup and really in and out of the starting rotation just because of some injuries here. So if you want to buy low on the Padres, look, the Reds took the money yesterday against with Gutierrez against Miguel Diaz, and then that price went down where the Padres, I think, became more attractive. Just on price alone, I would look more at the Padres side here, even though I agree with the move on the Reds. You know, it's not always about betting the team, it's about betting the number here. So lean San Diego at the price, but I'm staying out of this. But one I am going to take a chance on, and this is hold your nose time if you're back in the Arizona Diamondbacks, 20-52, who seemingly haven't won a game in Arizona since Barry Goldwater was in the Senate. But I do kind of like the run line here. If you want to go that route, it's +1.5 runs, even money here at BetMGM. Also some plus money at some other shops if you want to shop around. I felt that the Arizona Diamondbacks were at least going to win a game in this series and kind of break this streak. It's Tony Gonsolin against Alex Young. Alex Young, not a very good ERA at 6.75, 5.13 on the xFIP, so 1.62 difference at least on the positive. I think Gonsolin maybe has some negative regression coming and maybe some positive for Young. So I think if you want to be safe, take that run line. And I think that run line gets more valuable if you're taking the underdog here because it opened 9.5. Now you're seeing it down at 9 at BetMGM. So when the number, the total by and large, I think gets bet more to the under, that does give the underdog a little bit more of a valuable price, especially on that run line. So going to hold my nose here and probably going to look like a fool in about 3 hours from now, but I do like the Arizona Diamondbacks in this spot against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Real quick basketball score update before we reset here, and that is the Clippers and the Suns. End of the first quarter, 21 apiece, so a very low-scoring start here in the Valley of the Sun. And this is the Green Zone right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Wes Reynolds and Brady Cannon is going to join us here momentarily. So, like I said, let's reset that NBA playoff game. 21-21 after the first quarter between these two teams. It got off to a quick start here in the first few minutes, but then gradually slowed down. Playoff P has been playoff P at least through 12 minutes here. 4 of 8, 12 points for Paul George to lead all scorers. Jay Crowder leading the Phoenix Suns with 7 points. Devin Booker also with 5. Couple early baskets for DeAndre Ayton. So now, kind of in the end of the first quarter, we did see some minutes out of Zubac, and I think that's going to be a key thing to really look at for this game. You're really going to want to see if Zubac is going to get more minutes than he saw against Dallas and Utah. He got those early minutes in the Dallas series, really struggled to guard the pick and roll, and then that's why you saw his minutes, I think, be a lot more scarce out there. But now that you have a legitimate post presence in DeAndre Ayton for the Phoenix Suns, not only defensively but offensively, you're going to have to play some of your big guys. And there we see now DeMarcus Cousins is being subbed in to start the second quarter. So Ty Lue, I think, is going to want to see, at least early on, what can Zubac give me? What can DeMarcus Cousins give me against the Phoenix Suns big? So a little bit of experimentation, I think, going on here with these early first-round lineups. So that's what you're basically seeing here. All tied up at 21 as DeMarcus Cousins now gives the Clippers a two-point lead with the dunk. And currently at BetMGM, just looking at the prices being updated here, Phoenix Suns -2.5 at BetMGM in terms of the live wagering, 208.5 on the total, -155 on the Phoenix Suns, and then +125 on the money line for the Los Angeles Clippers. But back to the U.S. Open really quickly. We now have everybody having teed off. Louis Oosthuizen and Mackenzie Hughes are the final pairing on your Sunday, your Father's Day Sunday here at the U.S. Open. Still have not completed the first hole, so we do have everybody now on the course here playing, and Louis Oosthuizen and John Rahm right now are at the top of the leaderboard in terms of the in-running wagering at BetMGM. 4-1 here for both of these guys. John Rahm with 2 early birdies, going to try to make a recovery here on number 4. Rory McIlroy just behind at 5-1. Bryson DeChambeau at 13-2. Both Bryson and Rory still even par on their rounds today at 3-under. Also, Mac Hughes, who I mentioned, is in the final pairing with Louis Oosthuizen. He is currently 10-1 in your live wagering. Colin Morikawa making a little bit of a move with 2-under through his first 4 holes, so keep an eye on the defending PGA champion Colin Morikawa. He is now at 10-1, and also Russell Henley 16-1, Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka at 20-1, so you do have a lot of guys in red figures here. Brooks Koepka, pretty good start, 2-under through 8 holes. Same thing with Justin Thomas. Dustin Johnson, 2-under through 4 holes, so you are starting to see some early starts here, and really that second hole is the key, because this is the only hole in the first 7 holes that are playing under par for the week, so that's one that you definitely want to take advantage of. But just to give you a rundown of the leaderboard, Louis Oosthuizen still 5-under par. Mac Hughes does bogey on number 1. Then you have John Rahm. Russell Henley's given one back. They are at 4-under par. Colin Morikawa, Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy at 3-under. And then go back to the 2s. Absolutely loaded here. Tied for 8th. Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Scottie Scheffler, and then some other guys still in red figures at 1-under par. Daniel Berger, Guido Migliozzi, and Francesco Molinari. The Italian contingent has absolutely played well here at Torrey Pines all week. Xander Schauffele, 1-under par. Christian Bezuidenhout, 1-under par, as is Matthew Wolff, as John Rahm going to come short on that chip here, so he's going to have a tester here for par at number 4. So John Rahm going to try to get out of this here, and Brooks Koepka now makes his birdie on 8, so now he is 2-under par.
I'm back. Can you hear me, my friend?
I've got you, Brady.
Well, you know, I did this to you a couple weeks ago. My appetite got to me so bad, I had to run out of here and go grab a sandwich. I appreciate you giving me a minute there to knock it back. I feel very satisfied. And a friend gifted me the sandwich on Father's Day. That was very nice. But yeah, watching the action here, John Rahm has left himself a tester there for certain on the 4th hole. Got himself in a little bit of trouble off the tee and then did not make a good approach shot out of that fairway bunker. So he'll have some work left there to remain at 4 under par. Meanwhile, Colin Morikawa moves to 3 under par, so he is absolutely in the thick of this, 2 under through his first 4 holes. And boy, I don't know if you're watching this College World Series, but Virginia really landed on thick now to Tennessee, still in the top of the 7th inning, Wes. Got a runner now over to 3rd base, and they're leading the Volunteers 5-0. The underdog really barking out loud here in the opener for your Sunday edition of the College World Series.
Yeah, without question. So Tennessee, and Andrew Abbott has done his part on the mound, as I was mentioning in the open here. 10 strikeouts for Virginia, and we mentioned that Abbott had kind of been a little shaky in the regionals and the super regionals. Not so far today here in Omaha, as John Rahm just edges the left side here, so he will make his first blemish of the day a bogey, but 1 under par, that's going to drop him back to 3 under for the championship.
Rory McIlroy now teeing off on the par 3 third hole. He's got a 6-iron in hand. This pin tucked a little bit on the left side today. This is where we saw John Rahm pull it over the green left, had to get up and down, and made a real nice up and down to save his par. Rory's going to have a long way for his birdie, but he's safely on the green. Looks like he's probably a good 25, 30 feet away from the hole there. Let's check on this basketball game. That's where I left you to go get that bite to eat, Wes. The Los Angeles Clippers and the Phoenix Suns. It was just about a minute and a half left in the first quarter when they were tied at 21. We're now about 3 minutes into the second quarter, and Phoenix starting to take over here. It really was the Clippers early in the first half of the first quarter, but now Phoenix out in front, 35-30, under 9 minutes left in the second quarter.
DeMarcus Cousins been subbed in here at the start of the second quarter, and he's given him a punch offensively with 6 points here, but defensively absolutely lost. So what you're seeing here is, I think, what we talked about. DeAndre Ayton currently not in the game, but in this first game, I think when you're trying to be a little bit more liberal with your rotations, Brady, and some of your substitutions, and you're trying to see, okay, I got to know who can play and who can't play in this series. So that's why you're seeing, I think, a little bit more experimentation with the lineups. DeMarcus Cousins with another basket here to make it 35-32 Phoenix. Clippers trail by 3, but that's what they're trying to figure out. Okay, who on my bench can I play here? Because you can't just play 5 or 6 guys at least early in the series. You got to really be a little bit more, I guess, casual in terms of distributing the minutes here. So that's what you're seeing a little bit with different rotations, and obviously 2 big star players, one on each side, really out for this, at least the early part of the series on the Chris Paul side, but Kawhi going to be out likely for the rest of the playoffs. So you've really got to figure out who you're going to play here. And right now, 7:27 left to go in the second quarter. Phoenix up by 1, 35-34.
By the way, that par 3 hole where Rory left it probably 25, 30 feet from the cup, his playing partner Russell Henley stuffed it into about 4 feet. So Henley looking to get a shot back that he dropped on the first hole, bogeyed the first hole, but now in there tight at number 3 to get him back into a tie for the lead at 5 under par with Louis Oosthuizen. And of course, Mackenzie Hughes back a shot at 4 under par. Matthew Wolf, John Rahm's playing partner, he did just birdie number 4, so he is even par on his round at 2 under par for the championship. And over to the baseball game that we had yet to preview, Wes. We were talking about your Red Legs going against the San Diego Padres down in Petco Park. Been a fun series to watch. The Padres have gotten the better of the Reds, but another good pitching matchup today with Luis Castillo facing Dinelson Lamet. The Padres are a minus 135 favorite, your total at 8.
Yeah, I hit this a little bit when you were off for just a minute, Brady, and at the price standpoint, I would be looking Padres, but I do agree with the move here on the Reds just simply because Castillo has been a lot better in his last couple starts. He really looked like he completely lost it the first couple months of the season, but he has gotten better. One of the reasons why you saw this drop, not only in the side and the total, is because Fernando Tatis not going to be in the lineup for the Padres today. So that was, I think, a big portion of the move. But part of it also is is that Luis Castillo at least looks like he is starting to make some progress here. XFIP now down to about an even 4. So I could see why that moved down there for the Reds. But, you know, a 25-cent move I thought was a little much, even though the Reds, it's kind of the anti-sweep angle because they just come off sweeping the Brewers, and now they're trying to avoid getting swept here in San Diego. But let me get to a couple baseball scores here, and one that actually just happened, and this was in Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, a walk-off triple play, Brady, in the top of the ninth.
Wow.
Yes, the New York Yankees win 2-1. Jed Lowry and Tony Kemp were both walked by Aroldis Chapman, and then Murphy grounds into a triple play, so both of those two walks do not come back to bite Aroldis Chapman, and the Yankees do get the comeback win 2-1. Yankees with a double from Gary Sanchez drove in two in the bottom of the sixth, and that proved to be the difference. So Yankees do take 2-3 from the Oakland A's and still trying to kind of stay in that AL East race. And Toronto does beat Baltimore 7-4, final score, 7 runs, 14 hits. Another tough outing for Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey Day is kind of what everybody tweets about on social media that bets baseball. Only goes 4 1/3, gives up 9 hits, 4 earned runs. So another bad performance really from Matt Harvey. But the Washington Nationals have a very good performance today. Speaking of a pitcher who struggled to start the season, he looks like he's starting to get over those, and that's Patrick Corbin. Goes 6 strong innings, only gives up 2 earned runs and 4 hits, 7 strikeouts. So the Nationals do get the win over the New York Mets 5-2. Low scoring game in Pittsburgh, basically a kind of a bullpen pitcher's duel because these starters really didn't last in the game very long. But nevertheless, 2-1 Indians your final over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Had been struggling here against the Buccos, but they do get the win 2-1. So those are your current final scores in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and Cleveland looking to gain another game on first place Chicago in the AL Central as the Houston Astros to their White Sox right now, 8-2 in the bottom of the sixth inning there in Houston, and St. Louis taking it to Atlanta. This is game one of a doubleheader, and it's the top of the seventh inning right now, 9-1 in favor of the Cardinals. So the Braves will have just one more chance here in the bottom half of the seventh. The second game of that doubleheader will be tonight's edition of Sunday Night Baseball. And then finally, the Chicago Cubs trying to return the favor to the Miami Marlins. Miami got them on Saturday 11-1. Right now, Chicago out in front 2-0 in the bottom of the fifth inning. We've got a pause in the action down in Omaha. Looks like maybe an injured player on the field in the bottom of the seventh inning. Tennessee is batting, and they are trailing 5-0 to Virginia. No outs in the inning right now. A lot of baseball left, but Virginia really looking impressive in this opener. Of course, we will have Mississippi State and Texas for the nightcap as day two of the College World Series rolls on. Russell Henley does make birdie at number 3. He is now back in the lead, tied at 5 under par with Louis Oosthuizen. Mackenzie Hughes a shot back at 4 under par. Colin Morikawa, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy, all at 3 under par. Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka at 2 under par for the championship, along with Matthew Wolf and Scottie Scheffler. And how about this leaderboard, Wes? I was saying, if you wake up this morning, you might not be too familiar with Mackenzie Hughes and Russell Henley, but boy, about 15 players deep, this is a star-studded leaderboard here at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, this looks like maybe we could head to playoff territory. We don't get playoffs very often at the U.S. Open. And by the way, I know a lot of people have been asking about that, because the last time the U.S. Open was here at Torrey Pines, of course, back in 2008, was when we remember that Monday playoff where Tiger Woods was playing basically on one leg against Rocco Mediate, who actually was a deep sleeper, obviously very much toward the end of his PGA Tour career, really had his moment of glory there in that playoff with Tiger Woods. That was a full 18-hole playoff. We now have a 2-hole aggregate score playoff, and then, of course, they continue to sudden death if this is so tied. And look, normally somebody kind of emerges and wins this thing in regulation where we don't have to go extra holes. But with this many players, this condensed on the leaderboard, a playoff certainly not out of the question.
Yeah, I was absolutely thinking about that this morning, and I think you're exactly right. We could be headed that way. And now, what did you say the format was again? They play 2 holes, and it's a combined total score of those 2 holes.
Yes.
And then if it's still... still tied, they go to a third hole and that's sudden death.
Yeah, basically, and they keep playing, obviously, until they decide a winner. But it is that two-hole aggregate. I know the Open Championship, the RNA over in the UK, used to do that four-hole aggregate. We remember that playoff years ago with John Daly and Constantino Rocca, and they had had a couple ever since. So that's kind of the new format here. So we're not getting a full 18 holes on Monday if this, in fact, goes to a playoff. But just real quick on the leaderboard now, Russell Henley did get that bogey back with the birdie at number three. So he and Louis Oosthuizen, and you're tied at 5 under. Matt Hughes at 4 under. He did bogey on number one. And then Morikawa, Rahm, DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy, all right there at 3 under par. A guy making a move, at least on the back nine, Guido Migliozzi. He's won a couple times on the European Tour over the last couple seasons. 2 under. Do it for the championship, 3 under on his round. JT, Brooks Koepka, Matt Wolf, Scottie Scheffler, also at 2 under par. So a lot of players very much in this thing early on.
John Rahm on the fifth hole, his approach shot from the middle of the fairway and an unforced error there as he misses a green in regulation. Now, it's not too far off, and that can be death with that thick rough around the greens, but you can definitely see the ball here on the monitor, and it doesn't look like a terribly bad position there for what will be his third shot. Doesn't look like he's going to have much chance to make birdie, but it doesn't look like par is out of the question for John Rahm on the fifth hole. Taking a look at this basketball game, 6 minutes left in the second quarter, Wes, and one heck of a game here to get this Western Conference started. 40-39 right now in favor of the Clippers, and the Phoenix Suns down to a 2.5-point favorite in the live market. Your total has also crept down to 17.5 as far as the live market goes. This total closed at about 219.5. So we will keep tabs on what is a very good ball game so far down in Phoenix, and a very good final round at the 121st United States Open down at Torrey Pines. Virginia still up on Tennessee, 5-0 in the bottom of the seventh, and that'll make it 3 outs for the Cavaliers, top of the eighth, and they've got a 5-run advantage on Tennessee. We'll be right back on the Green Zone presented by BetMGM.
GM Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. Happy Father's Day. Happy summer solstice. What a great day to spend the longest day of the year. All kinds of baseball, College World Series, the United States Open. Of course, always crowns a winner on Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there. The Phoenix Suns, also we have playoff basketball, a game 7 later tonight, Wes. We'll talk about that one here momentarily. But the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Clippers all tied at 45 apiece. This has been a really good basketball game. On a little bit of an under pace, your in-game total at 218.5. Phoenix is a 2.5-point favorite in the live market. As far as the U.S. Open, Russell Henley and Louis Oosthuizen are tied for the lead at 5 under par. They're both even par on their rounds. Mackenzie Hughes has dropped a shot. He's back to 4 under par, and look who's there at 3 under par now. Brooks Koepka trying to make a statement here and win his third United States Open title. Colin Morikawa at 3 under par. John Rahm at 3 under par. Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy also at 3 under par. Justin Thomas right there at 2 under, along with Matthew Wolf and Scottie Scheffler. As far as Major League Baseball, we have games in progress. The Kansas City Royals up on the Boston Red Sox 4-2 in the bottom of the sixth inning. The Chicago White Sox trailing Houston 8-2 in the top of the sixth inning. The St. Louis Cardinals taking it to the Braves in the first of a doubleheader. 9-1, the Braves down to their final few outs here in the bottom of the seventh inning there in Atlanta. And the Chicago Cubs beating up on the Miami Marlins by just a small score today, 2-0. The Chicago Cubs leading Miami in the top of the sixth inning there at Wrigley Field. The Minnesota Twins blanking the Texas Rangers 4-0 in the top of the sixth inning. Your in-game total has moved to just 8 there in Texas. And the Milwaukee Brewers shutting out the Colorado Rockies 5-0 in the fourth inning. This in-game total was all the way up to 14. It is now currently off the board, and we have switched to the home half of the fourth inning. Colorado trying to get on the board. Your in-game total now back up, and it has dropped to 12. Wes, I also want to take a couple of minutes here to get updated on Euro 2020, the UEFA European Championship over on the pitch. Some soccer, my friend. We had a couple of games earlier this morning. Tell me about it, if you would.
Yeah, we have Group A essentially decided here, and this was Italy against Wales. Italy wins 1-0 at the Stadio Olimpico in Rome, and Italy now gets all 9 points. They did go 3-0 here, undefeated in pool play in this Group A, so they will advance to that tournament knockout round, of which there are 16 teams. It'll be 2 teams from each group, so that's 12 teams, and then the 4 best that weren't in the top 2 positions determined by points in that knockout phase, then we'll go ahead and advance. So Italy will get that 1 spot. Wales gets the 2 spot with 4 points. Switzerland can still advance. They did get the 3-1 win over Turkey today in Baku, Azerbaijan. So Switzerland did get the 3 points, but they would miss out against Wales, even though they drew head-to-head in terms of goal differential. So right now, Switzerland going to have to, based on their ranking and based on how many points they accrued in group play, could still advance to that round of 16. But Italy and Wales have the 2 guaranteed spots out of Group A.
Louis Oosthuizen misses a birdie putt from about 12 feet or so on the third hole to remain at 5 under par for the championship. And now Rory McIlroy in the mix, just a shot off the lead at 4 under par as he drops a long bomb on the fourth hole. So now you've got Henley and Oosthuizen at 5 under par leading the championship. Rory McIlroy and Mackenzie Hughes just a shot back at 4 under par. Koepka, Morikawa, Rahm, and DeChambeau all at 3 under. I don't know, Wes, if you saw that shot of John Rahm there on the monitor. I couldn't quite tell if he was getting ready to line up a par putt. I know he had missed the green on that fifth hole. Did you happen to see that one?
Yeah, it was a par putt, Brady. So he's 3 under through 5 holes, 1 under on his round, 3 under for the championship, and kind of that log jam at 3 under with Brooks Koepka, Morikawa, Bryson DeChambeau, also at 3 under par.
Okay, and Justin Thomas now on the 10th hole is lining up a bogey putt from about 8 or 9 feet. He's going to miss that. That'll be a double bogey for Thomas, and he's going to drop back to even par, and that'll probably just about do it for his chances to win the United States Open. As far as the betting market here at BetMGM, Louis Oosthuizen the favorite at 4-1, along with Rory McIlroy also at 4-1, Colin Morikawa at plus 650, DeChambeau, Henley, and Rahm all at 7-1, Brooks Koepka at 12-1, Scottie Scheffler back up to his price where he was heading into the weekend at 33-1, and Mackenzie Hughes has dropped to 25-1. Just 1 over par on his round, but was a long shot to begin the day. Now he's almost tripled in price at 25-1 in the live market. We'll come back with more in a moment as the Green Zone rolls on, presented by BetMGM. Stick with us. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Show or anything on the VSiN schedule today, don't forget to check out our free sports betting podcasts. Catch replays of all of our shows, including Follow the Money, A Numbers Game, My Guys in the Desert, and The Lombardi Line with VSiN Best Bets. Download the Beating the Book with Gil Alexander or Market Insights with Josh Applebaum. Plus, we've got Hardwood Handicappers, Long Shots, Gone Racing, and the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. They're all free and available now at VSiN.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Want to update the basketball game. Game one of the Western Conference Finals between the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Clippers going down in the other desert in Phoenix. Phoenix tipped off as a four-point favorite today. Your total closed at BetMGM at 219.5. And at the break, the Phoenix Suns are up by 3 points, 57-54 at the half. This has been a really good game. The Clippers got out to a hot start where they led by as many as maybe 6 or 8 points. The Suns came back and tied it up at 21 apiece. Then they took a lead. It's really been a back-and-forth contest here. And again, at halftime, Phoenix up by 3 points. In the live market for the entire game, they are better than where they were at tip-off, now a 4.5-point favorite in the live market, and your total, which had been on an under pace throughout the entire first half, really kicked into gear late there in the second quarter. Now your in-game total at 222.5, and Wes, are you starting to see any second-half lines pop up now?
Yeah, I am, and that did, by the way, go over for the first half. It was 108.5, 109 here, or 108, actually, here at BetMGM, so that did go over. Phoenix covers the first half. They were 2-point favorite for the first 24 minutes. Now you're starting to see some second half numbers. Phoenix minus 1.5, 112 on the total. So basically the Suns now adjusted as 4.5-point favorites. Also on this total, you're going to see 223. And just a couple observations and kind of being in and out of that game, watching it for the first half. You look on the Clipper side, Paul George leading scorer, no surprise there, was 17 points. But DeMarcus Cousins did give them a punch offensively, but keep in mind, KYP, know your personnel, keep in mind who is on the floor. When Saric was in the game for Phoenix, DeMarcus Cousins was able to get going offensively, but then when they put DeAndre Ayton back in, DeMarcus Cousins not going defensively. So keep in mind with these substitution patterns as you're watching this. DeAndre Ayton, by the way, the leading scorer for the Phoenix Suns, 7 of 8 for 14 points, and also Devin Booker's put in 11 for his contribution. Cameron Johnson, the big scorer off the bench for the Phoenix Suns with 10 points. So, like I said, I was staying out of this game because I want to see kind of the matchups and a little bit of the substitution patterns and what's really going on here. And DeMarcus Cousins did absolutely give them an offensive punch on the Clippers side. Zubac only played 5 minutes, and I was wanting to monitor his minutes to see, okay, who can we counter DeAndre Ayton with? And it looks like at least through 24 minutes, it can obviously change throughout the rest of the game and the rest of the series for that matter, that the Clippers are just going to stick with that small lineup here. When Ayton's out there, they're not going to have Cousins out there on him very much, and doesn't look like they're going to have Zubac out there on him very much. So maybe they're going to just live with DeAndre Ayton going ahead and getting his numbers down low and then trying to shut down the perimeter players.
John Rahm into the sixth green was his approach shot to about 20 feet. He'll have a look at birdie there. He remains at 3 under par for the championship. And we've had another member of the group join the club at 4 under par, and that is Bryson DeChambeau with his first birdie of the day. And here at the live market at BetMGM, Wes, he has become the tournament favorite now in the in-running wagering. Plus 350 on Bryson DeChambeau after that birdie, and Rory McIlroy was the next choice at 4-1. Louis Oosthuizen at 6-1, who currently is in the lead at 5 under par, along with Russell Henley. Russell Henley at plus 650, John Rahm at 7-1. But DeChambeau, the first hole in red numbers for him, and again, moves to the status of tournament favorite in the in-game wagering here at plus 350, Wes.
Yeah, and going a little bit down the board here, Russell Henley, 13-2 at plus 650, and he is currently your co-leader, along with Louis Oosthuizen, who you just mentioned. John Rahm, 7-1. Colin Morikawa, 9-1. Mac Hughes at 12-1, who gave one stroke back. He is one over on his round, so he's one off the lead. Mac Hughes coming into this tournament had missed 5 straight cuts. So, look, that's what when we look at that every week to see what kind of form a guy is in, sometimes lead in form matters and sometimes it doesn't for certain players. So, Mac Hughes just one off the lead, 12-1. Brooks Koepka, 16-1. And then you get down to some bigger prices with Matthew Wolff at 33-1. So really what it looks like we have, just based on the in-running wagering, we've got about 8 contenders here to win this thing.
And the Virginia Cavaliers continue to roll, closing out Tennessee in the bottom of the eighth inning down there in game one of two at the College World Series in Omaha. They currently lead 5-0. They went into the game as about plus 140 underdogs, 5-0 leading Tennessee right now. And every time Tennessee tries to put up a little bit of a rally, Virginia is absolutely able to shut it down. Just turned a double play there in the bottom of the eighth, and the stretch by the first baseman was absolutely incredible. This college baseball stuff has been fantastic, Wes. Really looking forward to Mississippi State and Texas coming up 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time later today.
Yeah, absolutely. So this has been good, and really who has been good was Andrew Abbott. Had 10 strikeouts before he left after 6 2/3 for the University of Virginia Cavaliers, but absolutely pulling a mild upset early on against the Tennessee Volunteers, who were, I think, one of the shorter prices when you looked at the futures market, at least going into this final eight here. Now 5-0 in the bottom of the eighth. Tennessee closed 170 at BetMGM, plus 140 on Virginia, and actually you saw some higher in the market on the Tennessee Volunteers. So Virginia going to go ahead and try to pull the upset. NC State was a small underdog, got the upset early. Vanderbilt, as you mentioned, had to hang on for dear life and win in the 12th inning over the underdog Arizona Wildcats. So Virginia trying to go ahead and make it 2-for-2 for the ACC to go ahead and advance here. As, speaking of advancing, almost, Rory McIlroy gave it a heck of a run there for birdie. That would have put him to a tie for the lead, so he should be able to manage that par and stay at 4-under, just one back in the championship.
Yeah, almost hold another bomb there to tie with Russell Henley for the lead, and that just about simultaneously happened as Louis Oosthuizen made his first bogey of the day. So Oosthuizen drops to 4-under par for the championship, 1-over par on his round. Russell Henley still hanging in there, even par on his round, made a birdie on bogey on the first hole and a birdie on the third hole. He is your sole leader at 5-under par, trailing right behind and lurking Bryson DeChambeau, your defending champion, at 4-under par, Rory McIlroy and Oosthuizen at 4-under par, along with Mackenzie Hughes, who I believe just made bogey, and that would drop him now to 3-under par for the championship. Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa, Matthew Wolf, and John Rahm all at 3-under par, and by the way, Mack Hughes missed the birdie, so he does tap in for par. Still just one shot off the pace at 4-under for the U.S. Open. We'll be right back. It's the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. And win $100 if you place a $1 wager on any NBA playoff game and either team hits a three-pointer, regardless of your bet's outcome. Simply use the bonus code VSIN100 when you place your first bet. Enjoy the playoffs more than ever with BetMGM. It's a new customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, D.C., or West Virginia only. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. In Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia, and Washington, D.C., 1-800-270-7117. In Michigan, 1-800-GAMBLER. In New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, 1-800-BETS-OFF. In Iowa, in Tennessee, 800-889-9789. And in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. The promotional offer is not available in Nevada. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you here inside the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. And the basketball game, the Western Conference Finals, still at the half, getting ready to come back to the third quarter here pretty quick. But while we have a minute, Wes, let's take a look at another basketball game we have coming up tonight. A big one. Game 7. Of course, we had an amazing Game 7 on Saturday between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. The Milwaukee Bucks win that one in overtime and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, and their opponent will be decided today in yet another Game 7 between the Atlanta Hawks and the Philadelphia 76ers. 76ers, this one going down in Philadelphia. And a little bit of money came in on the Hawks this morning, Wes. The opening line was 7 in favor of Philadelphia, and the total has come down. I mentioned the opening line was 7 on Philadelphia. This morning, it dropped down to 6.5 as some Hawks money came in. But now, we're seeing 7 start to pop up again, including here at BetMGM. 7 points in favor of the home team, Philadelphia 76ers, and your total down to 216. That's about where it got down to this morning. So since this morning, the total has not seen as much action as the side.
Yeah, and I think 7, that's probably a little bit high for me to lay, even though I do like the Sixers in this game. So maybe what I'm going to end up doing here is like a two-team money line parlay with the Sixers money line and also Vegas Golden Knights, and we'll get to that, obviously, a little bit later, that being game 4 up there in the Bell Center in Montreal. If you look at Philadelphia, basically most of this series, they've started out very well in the first half because they really collapsed in games 4 and 5. And Atlanta went ahead actually and did lead the first half last time out. We're up 29-22 in the first quarter. First 3 minutes of the second half, then Philadelphia went on an 11-0 run to build that double-digit lead, and the Hawks just weren't able to climb back and overcome that deficit. So if you're looking on that Atlanta side, we know what Trae Young has been able to do throughout these entire playoffs. You're going to need John Collins. He is going to have to be the guy that steps up. If you look at the 3 wins in this series for the Atlanta Hawks, John Collins averaging 18 a game, shooting about 63% from 3-point range. In the losses, just 12.7 points and 0 for 6 from 3-point range. So when he's off offensively, this team is going to struggle, Atlanta, offensively, because Philadelphia's defense, I think, has been one of the more elite defenses in the league. And also, you're going to need somebody else besides Collins to step up. Look at Bogdanović. First 4 games of the series, averaged 19, shot about 36% from beyond the arc. And then in the last 2 games, just 6.5 points a game and only 1 for 10 from the 3. So you're going to have somebody. I don't think Trae Young is going to be enough to carry them on the road, really, in a game 7, but Philadelphia has just been so erratic, and the guy that really bailed them out in game 6 was Tyrese Maxey, the young man out of Kentucky, 2020 first round pick. He was the guy that kind of made up for it. We saw it was Shake Milton earlier in the series, and then it was an unexpected Tyrese Maxey here. Tobias Harris also did bounce back. He had a couple really disastrous games, and then he tied for a team high 24 on 45% shooting. So at least that restores faith that he can be a bona fide number 2 option, because it's really been the Joel Embiid show, because Ben Simmons' offense has been its usual erratic self. So that's what you've had to have. And Tyrese Maxey, I think if Philadelphia goes on and wins this series, they're going to have him to thank for him, because he really bailed him out in game 6. So Joel Embiid actually was a little bit down on his production last game too. 22 points, 37.5% from the field, had 8 turnovers. We saw that ugly second half that he had really in game 4, and that's what made the 76ers kind of look like, instead of a contender, that they're basically praying and just kind of trying to almost run out the clock to win this series here, so to speak, in 7 games. But I do like Philadelphia here in this spot in a game 7. There's a reason why you're seeing them as a 7-point favorite. There's some 6.5s also out there in the market, so Philadelphia probably on a money line for me. I'm not going to bet Atlanta here. I know that's tempting to bet them plus 7 points, but they seem like they're getting the bulk of the money. So if I were to lay the spread, I would go ahead and lay Philadelphia. But instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take them on the money line, parlay them with the smaller favorite that can maybe pay out even money or slightly above plus money, and that would be the Vegas Golden Knights.
Couple of updates here for you. The Virginia Cavaliers, they just won't quit. They keep pouring it on here. 5-0, they lead Tennessee in the top of the 9th inning, and they've got no outs and the bases loaded. Also in the golf, the U.S. Open, Bryson DeChambeau on the 6th hole had a long birdie putt, left it a few inches to the left. He taps in for par to remain at 4-under for the championship. John Rahm on the 7th hole with his approach shot. He's got probably about 15 to 17 feet for his his birdie, a very good approach shot there. Louis Oosthuizen to the center of the green with his approach. He is at 4 under par for the championship. Looks like an easy two putt for Louis. Not a whole lot of chance for a birdie, as this one's probably 25 feet away for Oosthuizen. And then Colin Morikawa, watch out for this guy, the defending PGA champion from 2020. He has stuffed one in there on his approach shot to about 5 feet. He's at 3 under par for the championship. That would take him to 4 under par for the tournament. And Mackenzie Hughes at 4 under par for the championship has found a greenside bunker, his third shot on the fifth hole in that final pairing with Louis Oosthuizen. So he is in danger here of dropping another shot. And Wes, as far as this basketball game, I'm with you. I don't want, and I think you bring up a great thought there, to possibly play a money line parlay with both VGK, a cross sport parlay, of course, with VGK on the ice and the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't want to lay 7 either. If you just asked me to play a side, I'd probably take the points with Atlanta. But I do think Philadelphia finds a way to win this game. And let's talk about that hockey game. Of course, the Vegas Golden Knights trailing in this series 2-1. Just a brutal defeat in Game 3 in overtime to the Montreal Canadiens, who, by the way, have won 9 out of their last 10 playoff games. And they're a big underdog here tonight at home at the Bell Center in the neighborhood of minus 175 to minus 180. Pretty much minus 180, the consensus that we're seeing here across the board, including at BetMGM. And 5.5 for your total, heavily juiced to the under. There were some 5s juiced to the over this morning, but looks like 5.5 juiced to the under is the consensus number for the total now, Wes.
Yeah, it is. And you look here in Game 4, not officially announced, but I think it's going to be Robin Lehner tonight. He was the first off in the morning skate. That's usually, more often than not, a positive indicator that Robin Lehner is going to go ahead and have to give it a go here. And really, you haven't seen much reaction into the market. I don't think it's really dropped. You've seen a little bit, I think, on the over here in terms of the goals, that it's now juiced up very heavily at over 5, I think like minus 150. And then you get to that 5.5 where it gets really juiced to the under. So if you look at this change, I know people, and especially a lot of the locals out here in Vegas that obviously love Marc-Andre Fleury, are like, oh my God, what are we doing? But if you look at Marc-Andre Fleury as of late, 5.1 goals above expected since Game 4 against Minnesota, and 1.3 just in this series alone. So maybe giving him the night off might not necessarily be the worst plan in the world here. And I'm gonna trust Peter DeBoer really here in this spot, that he knows his guys and he's going to go ahead and give Marc-Andre Fleury the night off and put Robin Lehner into the net. And what we've seen so far is what we expected from BGK, that they were going to dominate the shots, 106 to 79 now through 3 games. However, and they've also gotten 54% of the scoring chances when you get in that 5-on-5 even strength situation. But Montreal, in terms of some of the advanced metrics, slight advantage, there's a reason why they are leading 2-1 in this series. 51.2% of the expected goals between the two teams, 50.8% of the high danger chances. So Montreal, absolutely the rightful, I think, leader of the series here at 2-1. Obviously, VGK on the series price still going to lay about 160, and the take back on the Habs is going to be plus 140 if you want to go that series route. But the fact also that we have not seen that adjustment, with as many people in the market that seem to be in love with Marc-Andre Fleury, at least from a fan standpoint. Now, that's a difference between fans and between bettors, because the analytics guys are basically telling you, okay, there's not that much of an adjustment from Marc-Andre Fleury to Robin Lehner, despite the fact of what we saw in Game 1, where Robin Lehner, off that Game 7 that the Knights had to have against the Minnesota Wild, Robin Lehner was kind of thrown out there as a sacrificial lamb. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered who it was. Wasn't going to have a chance when Colorado won that Game 7-1 there in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But VGK, I do like them kind of on a money line. I'm not going to lay it out right, so I'm going to parlay it with that Philadelphia 76er money line. Obviously, shop around for the best numbers to see what little value, every cent, every dollar counts. So definitely would recommend doing that. But I do expect VGK to be a little bit more aggressive and obviously push the action tonight. We know what Montreal wants to do. They kind of go into a little bit of shell. They absorb pressure. They've actually been beating VGK at their own game where they're paying the price and blocking shots and getting really good goaltending from Carey Price, who has done that for many years in the playoffs. So I do like VGK in the spot tonight. I don't think this is a panic for them starting Robin Leonard in this spot.
John Rahm will tap in for par on the seventh hole. Wasn't able to convert birdie, and neither was Colin Morikawa. Missed about a 3.5-footer on the par 3 eighth hole and probably has a good 3.5 feet coming back just for a par. So a missed opportunity there for Morikawa. Russell Henley has a good look here to get it to 6-under par for the championship. We'll come back and update all of that on the third hour of the program. And that was a par putt for Russell Henley that he misses. So he is dropping a shot back to 4-under par for the championship. Stick with us here at VSiN.